Listeners, the Picture Wealth Podcast is back. Renee Dehan, who is the Senior Vice President of Science and Artificial Intelligence at Inside Tracker, which we're going to get into Inside Tracker. I will have a link in the show notes to give you direction. But the essence is, this is the newest kind of life insurance. Now, that's a facetious comment. It is taking care of your blood, looking into your blood, analyzing your blood. In this day and age, it is exhausting scrolling Instagram of all, you should do this trend, you should take more vitamin E, you should do whatever, and everyone just buys it. Or if your friend does something, then you should do it too. But at the same time, why not dig into what you actually need? And so to figure that out, you need a company. And Renee, I'm excited to have you on the show and to have you represent Inside Tracker. So thanks a lot for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So just kick us off with, in the space of blood and AI, it's an interesting combo. What has you most excited right now in that space?
Yeah, actually, blood is, it's a very important biomarker. It's one type of many types of biomarkers that are obviously really important to measure, to get a sense of where your health is and where it's going, et cetera. One of the lovely things about blood, and specifically the blood measurements that Inside Tracker looks at, is we're measuring things that doctors are familiar with, which I think is really important, because I actually come from a background where we use more research grade measurements, and that's wonderful. But if you bring, let's say, your RNA sequencing data to your clinician, they're like, what can I do with this? But the type of blood measurements that we look at are really common things, like your LDL cholesterol, your HDL, some less common things, which some people may have regularly measured, but other people may not, like your C-reactive protein, which is a measure of inflammation in your body, or your cortisol. So those are a little bit more unusual, but still the clinical community is still familiar with it. And the reason why I like working with these types of measurements is because we know a lot about them, right? So we know that if we're measuring something, we're measuring it reliably, because there's a lot of standards that have been developed, which is really boring, but very important. But also, we know how these measurements are connected to health outcomes that we all care about. So we know that having high cholesterol can predispose you to risk of cardiovascular disease. And we know that elevated C-reactive protein can also expose you to risk of metabolic diseases and cardiovascular diseases, things like that. So it allows us to get a picture of your health and also start to really understand where you are in terms of disease risk, which is really what we're trying to do. Like with your life insurance policy, that's exactly it. We want to make sure that, you know, you are and can be as healthy as possible.
Yeah, I think so. In the wealth picture, or when we're building wealth plans for people, we use something called an asset map, or what we call a dashboard. And so when I started using Inside Tracker a few years ago, seeing the dials of like where my blood markers actually came in for optimized, not really hit home. And I think that is something that I want to talk about. In my application with it, you guys use the term unoptimized and optimized. And that also hit home, because as somebody who is trying to eat right and trying to work out right, life's being competitive in the gym, and why am I behind, or why am I not getting ahead as fast as I wanted to? Explain how you integrate, because I love this. I don't want to take it away. You ask someone at the start of the process what their goals are. So yeah. For me, it was, I want more endurance. I think there's even a CrossFit button on this. I do this. You can do biking, you can do running. And these are my goals. And you ask me what my current diet is. Like, where did that come from? Or is that?
Yeah.
Because that's amazing.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I'm glad you've had a good experience with it. And ultimately, what we're trying to do is come up with a high fidelity, high resolution picture of where your health is. We start out by asking you a lot of questions about, what do you do? So how frequently do you consume dairy? How many alcoholic drinks do you have per week? Do you smoke? Do you eat meat? And how much meat do you eat? So this can give us a good idea about what your habits are. You do have the option of hooking up a fitness tracker too, right? But we'll also, if you don't want to do that, we'll ask you questions about exercise, et cetera. So we're really just trying to get, we want information from you. So nobody knows Dustin the way that you do, right? So we're not going to pretend that we do. So let's just get the information straight from the source. I also worked at a company called Patients Like Me, which really puts patients at the center of their health experience. And I think we all have so much to learn, not just in this kind of, I'm going to go trust the doctor, I'm going to trust the scientist, like the person themselves, you're the one living in this body every single day. So we want to know what you're up to. And we really do care about, what are you trying to achieve? Typically, it's very interesting. Like there's a lot of people come to Insight Tracker or a product like Insight Tracker because they're undergoing some life event, like some life change. It can be a really positive thing. It could be something that's very challenging for them. Maybe they just lost a parent and they're really worried. We just want to understand, where is that person? And then what does their health look like? So we ask people a lot of questions. We will also take blood measurements. As you mentioned, you can connect a fitness tracker, so we can get actually a lot of information about your sleep, your activity, your habits, things like that through the fitness tracker in kind of a passive way. So you don't have to provide us that information. And there's also opportunities to have us look at your DNA to provide additional context for your health. But that's really, really step one, is getting that high fidelity picture of where you are.
Yeah. So from there, like you said, you mentioned people would look up research or talk to scientists, talk to their doctor. That would be a step in the right direction. I would guess to say that probably 40% of people's medical and health recommendations are coming off social media. That, you know, is, well, yeah, if that person's doing it, I just went through a gut biome process and check and nutritional thing. And your gut biome's changing all the time. So even for me testing my own stuff, it's changing. And so from person to person, you have different things. I think you have to use your service. And I love the fact that you provide recommendations to bring things. Maybe I'll let you answer that. So give us the spectrum of, so a nurse comes to the house, you give some blood. What happens next? Where does my blood go next? Or what happens?
Yeah, no, exactly. Right. You're in Canada. So, you know, somebody can come. We do provide a service where a mobile phlebotomist can come to your home and they'll draw blood there. And that's like really wonderful and convenient. In the States, you can also go to a lab and have the blood drawn. Or actually, if you have labs that were done at your doctor's office, you can take those data and upload them. So that's another entirely different option that you can do. So anyway, if you did have your blood drawn or taken as kind of part of Insight Tracker, then we will eventually, it will go to the lab. The lab will take those measurements. We will get all of those measurements. And then we take all of that information and we input it into our AI platform. It's something that's called Cytera X. So it's some internal lingo, but what that does is it matches all of that kind of high resolution, high fidelity information that we have about your health today and where you have been and your goals. And then it matches it up with the results from thousands and thousands of clinical studies that have looked at lifestyle interventions. And I think this, your point about social media, is really good. Like, I work at Insight Tracker and I work in this field, and I am dizzied by the stuff that I see on social media. There is no way, and this is what I do for a living, there is no way that I could do a proper scientific analysis of every single thing that I see in my Instagram feed. There's just no way. There aren't enough hours in the day. So that is essentially, and this is what I love and why I decided to work at Insight Tracker outside of the incredibly lovely people, is that I don't want to have to do what we would call in research a meta-analysis. I don't want to look up every single paper that has ever been written about the impact of creatine on cognition, because that will take, to do it properly, that will take me days. Yeah. And so the AI platform that we have is, we've already done that, right? Like a team of experts, nutritionists, exercise physiologists, biologists, they take that question and they say, okay, what is all of the research? What is the impact of creatine on cognition? What does that research look like? Can I gather it all together? I'm going to read it all. I'm actually going to curate it into this computable format so the computer can retrieve this information really easily for us. And then ultimately a decision will be made. Is there enough evidence to say that we should recommend creatine for people who are concerned about cognition? And if so, for whom should we recommend it? And what types of creatine, and what is the formulation, and how are they going to be able to, if they want to start this as a new habit, how are they going to be able to actually implement this in our daily lives? So all of that work is done for you. And what I think is really important here is that you will not get an inside tracker recommendation for something that is, there's no scientific evidence for it. That's the key part. Is I think a lot of what we see in social media, great, somebody might be looking at one paper where they found an interesting result or saw something really interesting, or maybe it's something that works really well in mice but hasn't been studied in humans yet. And I don't have time for that. Like, I only want to see the things that are truly backed by a good portion of evidence that kind of says the same thing over and over again in multiple different people in different studies. And that is the information that we present to our users. And interestingly, like, sometimes people get a little frustrated, right? Because they're just like, yeah, you're telling me to keep consuming nuts. But I already know that nuts are good for me. Or I already know that olive oil is good for me. I know that walking is good for me. But to be honest with you, big changes in preventive health, they're routine. They're boring. Like, well,
what I found now, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, that you wouldn't actually recommend like the pharmaceutical channel. So maybe my sort of thing is a key point of what I really like. It's like my recommendations to get all my stuff in line was all natural things, psyllium, different cumin, different things like that, where it's okay, I wouldn't have thought of that. But then you read it and then you provide a blurb of, if you take this at this amount, then it likely should lower or increase or get you into an optimized. Because I did have some high markers that weren't supposedly good. And so then that just provides education to well-being, which health we think is wealth. And okay, so what else has got you excited? Finish off the journey
totally.
of what you're going to, what's there, or what do I see?
I think you also raised a really good point here, which is all of these interventions they're purely lifestyle. They are things that you do not, they're non-prescription. You do not need you might want to check with your doctor before taking up a new exercise routine, of course, and things like that. Or maybe there could be supplements that interact with your medications that we just don't know about, right? So I think that's important. But like the point here is that we just want to be able to have as much control as possible over what we can do. And sometimes so for example, I take a step. There's no amount of wonderful things I consume or running that I can do to like outrun my like family history of high cholesterol. Okay. So I take a step. Wonderful. That is a decision that I need to come to with the doctor.
Right.
But it's really nice to know that I tried a whole bunch of things before I, you know, was like, okay, really, I need a drug for this and I have to go see a clinician for this. But yes, I think of the product as a way to hold the patient's hand in between doctor's visits, because your doctor is probably not also a health coach, which is like it's a whole different field. And having expertise in non-prescription interventions there is expertise there. But they don't have, your PCP is probably, I don't know, Canada is a wonderful place. So maybe your PCP is calling you like 2 months later and just, hey, Dustin, like, how's that going?
We're understaffed.
Yeah.
So no offense to the doctors, because they're doing their best. It's just volume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They want to. I think like my PCP would love to be able to have the time to call me up in 2 months and be like, how is your fiber intake? But she can't.
That introduces another thing, which is something we do work with, is executive private physicals. Because a lot of our clients, if you've got X amount of dollars and we say, hey, and we do some projection, says you're probably going to pass away with money. Why don't you just spend a little more? People are like, well, that's not how we got here. But we got here by good saving and business decisions. But it's like, why don't you spend a little bit more on your health, have a little bit less at the end of your life, but you're going to enjoy, you're going to be more able-bodied while you're younger, or get your knee rehabbed, or spend an extra, whatever it is, to fly to Thailand and get a knee surgery or whatever. Blood tests, do the blood tests. It isn't like you have to do it every month. It's like you do it whatever cadence you think. I would ask you, so my ApoB came back quite high the first a couple of years ago. And so we the recommendations came out. So I did some things and it lowered a little bit. And then with my own private doctor, he was like, hey, like sugar, you're good. And I wasn't a big sugar person, but I went on like a whole 30 like nutrition kind of program, which is like 30 days of whole foods, and you can look it up.
Yeah. But
it lasted like a longer than 30 days, which because the first week was brutal. My wife was quite annoyed with me because I was grouchy, low carb. But now my ApoB is coming down into a decent range, but the sugar and the protein powder were, I think, one of those two things that I always took lots of that helped. So removing it and bringing that down, which it still needs.
Even the protein powder, because I feel like protein powder usually doesn't have a...
After being super dorky and studying a bit of my gut, I do have some dairy things, so whey, and that is affect.
Yeah,
does affect my sort of program. So anyway,
interesting.
Get too into that.
No, but first of all, I'm glad to hear that it's coming down, and it's also ApoB is really interesting too. Because for example, if your ApoB is low but your LDL is high, that is less alarming than if LDL and ApoB are both high, for example. But I'm glad that it's coming down. And I can't, it's Whole 30 also low carb.
Yeah. So you're
ish.
Yeah. No oatmeal, no like even your whole foods, no oatmeal, no rice. It's gross. It's
no.
It's not good. Yeah. It's not great. It's basically no sugar, dairy, wheat. And then, yeah, it isn't like a keto, but at the start, and then
it's
dabbling
in there.
Yeah. And you're bringing back food. So after the 30 days, and all the gurus out there on Whole30 would be like, he's saying it wrong. But this is the gist, is like you bring back a food, have a little bit, wait a day or two, see how you react to it. If you've got bloating and everything, and you only changed by adding that one thing, because you've been going 30 days of just the same thing. Then you know that's likely something that you're going to
a culprit.
Yeah, a culprit. Take it off. Yeah, tomato sauce. You just find out really weird. What would be something weird that you see in people's blood? Is there things that you see that are anomalies, or are people's, it's like you're either healthy or not?
That's actually a great question. We really do see the gamut. There are certain biomarkers that if they are out of range, then we're like, okay, you literally need to call your doctor right now. For example, if somebody has very high potassium, you know, that can be a serious issue. I would say we see insulin tracker users tend to be interested in their health, right? So they're fairly healthy. However, we've noticed a couple of really interesting things. So here's one example. I like to talk about LDL a lot, but let's say you have a genetic predisposition to having high LDL, then, and this is somewhat obvious, but it turns out that it's actually much harder for you to lower your LDL cholesterol with lifestyle interventions. So it can be, I think that can be really helpful to sometimes have that context, because then you're not just banging your head against a wall and feeling really guilty. I guess I just didn't eat enough fiber this week because I was 3 grams off. You might just be banging your head against a wall and you need a bigger hammer for that particular problem. The other thing that we noticed is, for example, people that also have high cholesterol, if they, let's say they came to Inside Tracker, they tested, their cholesterol was high. It was interesting to follow that cohort over a year. And this is something that our head of data science investigated. And what she found was that people with high cholesterol, some of them were able to improve their cholesterol and have it go down, and some of them weren't. And what one of the differentiating factors she saw between were you able to lower it or not is the people that did lower their LDL cholesterol tended to take more and more steps, actually, as the year went on. So I thought that was just a very interesting behavioral observation. Was we can't necessarily say that taking steps is going to lower your LDL cholesterol. It was an associative study, not really a causal one. But we see things like that. I think cortisol is a really interesting one.
And cortisol is, maybe help the listener understand in quick terms what that means or what that thing is.
Yeah, essentially it does a lot of things, but it is overall a marker of how stressed your system is. So you can have very high cortisol levels when you're undergoing, let's say, large amounts of stress at work or something like that. The time of day that you measure the cortisol is very important. This is a tricky biomarker. I would say like cortisol and CRP are two very interesting biomarkers that people are really surprised by. So for example, even the last time I had my blood checked, I had high CRP and I don't know why. It was just a puzzle to me because one time I ran a race and then I got my blood tested like a week later and my CRP was very high at that time. But that's natural because I just ran this big race and I ran hard and I really like put my body through the ringer. So you would expect there to be some systemic inflammation. So it can be very helpful. I think the surprises to people are the most interesting, right? You know, I kind of wanted to dig into that and understand like, why is my body undergoing the systemic inflammation? What's going on? Like, I don't really feel any different. Actually, I was just going to go back and retest and see if it was just a blip that resolved or is it something that I do need to dig into with my physician a little bit more because my diet hadn't changed much or anything like that. I don't know. I think the surprises are interesting. And yeah, we get a lot of people who are like very fit and they're doing all of the right things. And then they're like, oh, wow, I didn't expect this. So I guess I do have a couple things here and there to work on. And it's like whack-a-mole. Like you fix one thing and then you go back and get tested again. You're like, oh, now something I got to work on.
Yeah. But have you ever tested your blood before a race and then after?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
What do you find?
So I like joke that it was a couch to 50K and it was a couch to 50K, but I ran this 50K. And so I did test my blood before and after. I did a week after and then 2 weeks after. And actually my inflammation levels were still a little elevated, even 2 weeks after a race. I also saw one of my liver enzymes was also high, presumably from all of the muscle breakdown that occurred during the race. But besides that, really nothing was super, super different in my blood. It was also just because I was testing really close to each other. It was interesting to see if there were any differences like in my LDL or things that you wouldn't expect to massively change that just look at test error. But yeah, it was mostly just, I would say, overall systemic inflammation and muscle breakdown that I was seeing after that race.
But right. You mentioned something that I parked it and now I'm bringing it back. And so in your thing or in my thing, it would recommend or someone's saying you need to take this much stuff. One great thing about Insight Tracker currently is you guys don't sell products. So I think that's one part that is important to know in any of these things. Usually there's at the end, it's like, here's your stack. It's $472 for four pills on whatever.
Yes. But, yeah.
Mine came out, it recommended some psyllium, recommended four or five things. And so I've been taking those and my levels have been coming down or getting better, or what if it was an up or down needed. But one thing that I'm unsure of is, do I got to take this vitamin B12 forever? Or is it the body evolve? Do I stop taking it and then test the blood, see if it's holding? Or is this like a bill that I'm going to have forever is my vitamin B12 and all coenzyme Q10 and everything else?
Yeah, it's first of all, it's a great question. It is a good point. I do myself like that Insight Tracker doesn't sell supplements. We also have people who are just like, literally just tell me what to buy. We're like, sorry. Sometimes we have some tips in there from here. These brands are trusted because of their GLP process or whatever. But anyway, yeah. So we do have what we call historically aware recommendations, which is the brainchild of our head of science. And so you should be able to, when you retest, you might get a recommendation that says, oops, like, all right, your vitamin B is
too
high now.
Ah,
so
okay.
Why don't you, so stop taking the supplement, or it will say, great, your vitamin B is still within range. So please continue to take this supplement. So you would, whatever you're doing is working. So that's really awesome. And then it's also aware of stuff, information that you've given us. So for example, if you say that you consume nuts with medium or high frequency, and we look at your blood and we're like, great, nuts have been shown to really improve marker XYZ that this person has unoptimized, then we will say, okay, good job on eating the nuts. Please continue to eat the nuts. So some of it is we're trying to acknowledge the behaviors that you already have that are really good that we want you to maintain.
Great. But, yeah. So the nuts, olive oil, different things. Renee, is there anything else that you want to share with listeners that is tied into kind of what we're talking about, or more importantly, things you're excited about? Because this is your space. This is your world.
Oh, thanks. Just in general, I'm very happy about preventive health. And it's funny, we were talking this morning about, it's like, I feel like preventive health has now just been rebranded as longevity and health span and all of this stuff. And like, it was confusing to me when I first started to work here, because I was just like, but isn't it just preventive? It's just preventive health.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. So I don't know. I think it's really helpful. Like, really, the vast majority of us like want to live really well and then drop dead.
Yeah. The Peter
Attia. Yeah. Like we don't want to really be in a lot of pain and decrepit and not able to do the things that we can. I don't know. I think I'm really delighted that we have a product that kind of cuts through a lot of that. Also, the social media noise. Yeah. There's plenty of platforms. The social media noise, and where I'm just like, okay, just surface me things that actually have real evidence that are specifically for me behind it. But I'd say AI is definitely like, it's the new black right now, specifically ChatGPTs and large language models. I am pretty excited about the work that we're doing there. So one of the things that I think is really important about preventive health in general is really it's behavioral health, right? I'm really impressed that like you went out and you bought the supplements and you're still buying the supplements. So, like you had to start a new routine of changing the way that you interact with, let's say, food or supplements or something like that in order to try and be healthier. And that's not really easy for a lot of people. We give you a lot of information and a lot of stuff to do. And so I really am excited to work on how do we help people really implement these behaviors to figure out, all right, Inside Tracker just gave me 20 things that I could do. And they ranked them for me, which is lovely, but like, I am not going to all of a sudden wake up tomorrow and change 20 things about my life. So can Inside Tracker be a real partner in terms of helping people really implement these changes and these behaviors in their lives so then they can see success? And so let's say you tried the psyllium husk and it did nothing for you. And you were like, why am I doing this? Why am I spending money on it? Then we want to be able to say, okay, maybe the psyllium husk isn't really the best option for you. We won't show you that recommendation anymore. So anyway, we're figuring out different ways to use large language models in the form of a chatbot. And my goal with it is really to have it be a friend, like a coach, a kind of a behavioral health partner. It doesn't replace a human. Like, I would much rather have a human being to talk to you about these kinds of things, but that's not always convenient. People might not be able to afford it. So I'm really excited about developments there. So we can just, I don't know, figure out where people are struggling in terms of implementation and really, really help them there. And that's something I think that's coming down the line that I'm very happy about.
I appreciate it. And I had another question. So are you okay for time if I ask?
I'm all good on time.
You triggered my brain with AI and the large language model. If there's new studies and new data, are you continually uploading it? So we talked about LDL cholesterol and the other cholesterol, good and bad. And I never remember. I think both of mine are high. But those two things, there's more. This is showing my bias. I've found studies that say that maybe elevated cholesterol without something else is actually okay. I'm screwing it up, more lubrication or more whatever in your veins or arteries. I don't know. I'm totally off point. But is there new stuff that gets continually added to the AI model to learn from?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great question. And actually, we have been working on our kind of automation pipeline for that. So we have a knowledge base, and the knowledge base contains like thousands of clinical studies. So let's say a new study comes out on the impact of lax meal on LDL, then we will add that to our knowledge base. And we have what I would call a semi-automated process that does that and does semi-automated searches to identify new research that Inside Tracker would care about. And that would be, you know, a potential addition to our knowledge base or potentially a new research topic that's emerging. So yes, and we are actually doing some work now to further automate that pipeline. Fewer people have to be involved. One thing that is still really important though is that these large language models. Like AI is not perfect, and we don't want to put anything in our knowledge base that's incorrect. And so we still have a human expert that's reviewing this information before it gets locked and loaded in there. And I would say that one of the more complex things to do is to make a decision for our product to say, okay, is there enough evidence for our product and our users to say that we should recommend this to them, yes or no? And I never want to hand that over to the robots, right? I still want our head of science, who is just this phenomenal nutritionist. I'm like, I need your brain in there thinking about this. Like, you could review a decision that maybe the robots made, but right. I don't want them making the decision without your review. But yeah, no, we're constantly trying to add new studies and new information in there. And it's hard to keep up with without having some level of automation, because the studies are coming fast. Well, we have funding for it, but.
Renee, thank you very much. InsideTracker.com. Where can people find you?
InsideTracker.com for Inside Tracker. I pop on and off social media, but I'm at Renee Dehan, so you can find me there.
Right on. Thanks a lot for your time today.